Hello and welcome to the Jennifer O'Brien Show. I am your host, Jennifer O'Brien. Here I am again. Just every week I come on here, I cannot believe that I have a show with my name in it. Like, what are the odds that I would actually find a show out there in the universe that had my name in it? So I just, woo, mind blown with that. So, but let's not talk about that today. I am so excited and I cannot wait for you to get to know the real Timmy Boyle, because that's who's coming on today. He is a comedian. He's an author. Let's see. I just happen to have his book right here, Inside Timmy's Mind. And it's a great read. So it's, if you want something kind of funny, lighthearted, and reading material in the reading room, this is a fun book to read. And he's also an Instagram model. I mean, so come on. But anyway, very funny guy. I met Timmy, I want to say several years ago at a conference. And, you know, when you just are able to talk to somebody and they just kind of hit that ball right back to you, he's that kind of guy. He likes to have fun. He's super funny. And I just cannot wait for you to meet him. So without further ado, let's bring Timmy Boyle. Well, hello, Timmy. Welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Did we interrupt you?
Yeah, no, I was just checking to see when I had an interview planned with Jennifer O'Brien, and I just want to make sure that I get to that right after this. So just...
Oh, wait, can I just... Real quick.
Yep.
This is it. Like, right now, it's happening.
This is the Jennifer O'Brien Show?
It is. Yeah. I know.
Oh,
Is that disappointing? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, now I'm just a little bit concerned about who I was supposed to be meeting after this then.
Well, if they're saying it's me, I'm not in Canada. Like, I'm down here in the United States. So
the beautiful thing about these online things, right? Anywhere in the world. I am currently in Dubai, just enjoying the high life. Comedy's been good to me.
Are you? Okay, well, listen, we already have a comment because Timmy... That's the kind of guy you are.
Oh, yeah. Can I read comments too on this thing or no?
Oh, you can. Are you? I don't know what your settings are.
Oh,
can
geez.
You see that?
Oh,
well, I'm going to read it.
Apparently, the weather just came up when I tried to click on. Okay, you read the comment and I'll figure out how to clear this thing off my screen.
You do that. Okay. Inside Timmy's Mind. Is there a glass of OJ on the cover? And you know what? It would not be Timmy Boyle if there was not a glass of OJ.
Can I please give a shout out to my cover designer, a good friend of mine. He was my collaborator for years.
Yes.
See all those papers on the floor with Inside Timmy's Mind with different fonts?
Yes.
That is not Photoshop. That is printed out papers with different font crumpled. We're talking like genuine photography there. That.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm not sitting on a toilet. A lot of people think I'm sitting on a toilet, but
Robe. I'm going to be honest with you. It does have that. If that was a toilet, I wouldn't have been surprised. It makes you think that, I guess, with the bathrobe.
It does. It does. But I always wonder, like, the bathrobe is literally like under me. Like it's right. A pretty, yeah. But I thank you for putting that out. And Dave, thank you for acknowledging the orange juice. The orange juice, the suits, and the socks are my three branding points.
Yes, he is. He's on there. Conserving the environment was the guy's. To heck with conserving the environment. Let's just throw all that crumpled paper.
I plan on living to 140, Jen. I have a good, strong feeling that's going to happen. But after that, what do I care what happens to the earth?
Yeah, you know, like, deal with it is what I say.
Right.
Sorry,
I had to
deal with a lot of stuff too.
I can deal with the damage my parents caused. My grandchildren can deal with the damage I caused, but I'm going to enjoy my life while I'm here.
Thank you. It's like, maybe the damage is emotional, but we've all got some damage. Am I right? Childhood trauma. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. So I am excited. Just real one more quick plug for this book.
Thank you. Yeah.
We're all concerned that you're on the bathroom. You're on the toilet. But I will say that's kind of my favorite place to read this book. It's just one of those reads where that's where most of my reading is done. And if you just want a lighthearted chuckle.
I believe. I believe my mind, Jen, my mind should be in the bathroom basket of every home in America at the very least.
That's what I thought.
And seeing as I haven't, you know, made money doing comedy in a year and a half, buying a book would be really, really helpful right now.
Okay. So everybody, stocking stuffer, Christmas, it's coming. You're going to have to go check out. Are you selling these on your website? Where can I?
Yeah, but they are available on the website. There's a link to the store. TimmyBoyleComedyStore.com is where you can go to do that. But if you direct message me, then I'll be able to sign a copy. And it actually, you actually save a little bit of money because it's more, there's fees and stuff online. So direct message me. I'll ship off a book personally and we can personalize it for you. Or you can just go online, make it nice and easy. We can do that too.
Yes, we're just getting a lot of comments coming through. Let me catch you up. I don't know if you're seeing.
Yeah, I can see them now.
Okay, I just breezed through it. I'm going to go back. It's Timmy. I'll be back for the replay about to record Love You Crazy Kids. So she's not even, she's just saying, listen, I see you, but I don't have the time for you.
Yeah, but she's too busy. June is, I helped June out at a conference a few years ago, and now all of a sudden she's like too busy for Timmy.
You know, we're going to have to talk trauma llama in my pajamas. So she knows all about trauma. Mm-hmm. Her and I can just share great stories all day. And then Dave Ebert once again says, wait, are his books on boats off the coast of Cali, meaning California, or printed in America?
Not quite sure. Listen, I'm a big fan of Dave already here because he's left like 90% of the comments. He knew about my orange juice. But I don't even understand that last comment, Dave. But I appreciate you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. And that's when we say he's in Canada. Now you're in Canada. Talk to me about. So I just could talk all day. We could just shoot the breeze
because
I've noticed that's what you and I do really well together.
You talk and I listen. Yeah, I've noticed that. It's a great interview, Jen. We've heard more about your story. Well, you've seen my book a lot. I do appreciate that.
I am pitching for you. Okay. So guys, before we move on, direct message Timmy Boyle. He can autograph this and you can get your own. Would you be willing to spill some orange juice
I wish I had it here with me. But I'm at a different location than my house, which I won't share that information specifically because of stalkers and stuff. But, in my fridge, I have a glass, my upstanding comedy glass, with about this much of what used to be orange juice. It was a science experiment gone bad. Uh-oh. And it was the last orange juice I had when I left tour before COVID started. We finished 2 days of touring just as COVID. We got home from touring with David Tennant, or not David Tennant. That's isn't that a?
Oh, I know who you're talking. No, his sister. Judy Tennant. Wait, are you talking about? What's his name? Oh my gosh, that's COVID brain. Like we haven't really been connected. I know who you're talking about.
So
I know who you're. Yes.
So anyway, I feel bad. I feel horrible now. I just got a brain freeze. I'm thinking of Doctor Who because David Tennant is a Doctor Who character. I'm not a Doctor Who fan, but an episode on a podcast that I've been doing is this week's episode is Doctor Who episode.
Derek Tennant.
Yeah, Derek Tennant. So today we're actually filming chunks for this Doctor Who episode, which David Tennant plays a prominent role. Anyways, needless to say, I wasn't with David Tennant. I was with Derek Tennant. COVID started. I came home with that orange juice, started a show called Calling Comedians in Quarantine, did 100 episodes of those. You were on that show.
Yes.
And as I drank that same thing of orange juice every single episode. It was a daily show. And here's what happens with orange juice over that much time. It slowly starts to vanish. Ooh. And then it slowly started to get this dark film on it. And I still have it now about what is it now? 18 months later in my fridge. It's no longer orange juice. And I just plead with people. If you can't book me for an event, and please do, that would be much appreciated because I get more money than book sales. But if you want to buy a book, or a glass or socks, do that because I haven't been able to afford orange juice. I literally have this much of what used to be orange juice in my fridge. So help a boy out is all I'm asking.
Help. Guys, you heard it today. Like Timmy needs help. Like we've got to get you some fresh squeezed orange juice.
And right?
Because you've been on lockdown. You guys are a little more restricted in Canada than I think we're down here in the States. Is that correct? Or what's it looking like there for you?
Look, all I know is that, you know, you guys have had a few things over your over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years where people are like, well, I'm going to move to Canada. I've had enough of this. Right. And nobody ever comes up here.
No.
But I'm getting to that point where I have no desire to live in your country. But this last few months where we're starting to see how ridiculous our country has gotten in some of the lockdown stuff, I might move down there. If Dave buys 10 books, I will consider it seriously.
Dave, no pressure. 10 books. We got him down here. And listen, you can move down here. You can go to my home state, which is Florida. It's the Sunshine State. And guess what they grow in Florida? It just grows on the trees.
Pot. What? Oranges. What?
Oranges.
Oranges.
You can have fresh squeezed orange juice every single morning. Nice. And right. Yeah. And
but that's that's not where you live now, right?
No, I'm in Georgia. Yeah. I'm in the Peach State.
Yeah, congratulations, Braves. Eh?
Oh, thank you. I didn't watch a single, I was going to say episode. I didn't watch a single match.
Episode, World Series season 48.
I'm sorry. You know, I feel bad, but like, I actually went to a Braves game this summer and it was like really close and we stayed and they did a home run at the end and won it. And it was so like, it was really good. Like I enjoyed that game, but I wasn't there in person. So why?
Yeah. And, let's just say this, let's get off the baseball talk. I wanted to agree, but when you said they did a home run, I just know that we'll start to have a bad relationship going forward if we use phrases like that. And so they did a home run.
Like he hit the ball with that wooden thing. I think it's called a bat. And then the ball went into the stands.
Well,
and they had a home run.
Don't do it, Jen.
Our squeeze orange juice in Florida. Okay. Dave needs to know, do you take EBT cards? That is basically, it's food stamps.
We don't have food stamps up here.
Yeah, but he's trying to see if he could use an EBT card to get those books, which basically it's a credit card. Oh. Like, would you take that?
No, is it? Can I buy anything with it?
If you come down here to the States, you can buy food with it.
No, Dave, I'm trying to survive my own winter here.
No, Dave, that's a trigger. Do not like so.
Yeah.
Right now, like, can you even come down here? Like, I don't even know what the restrictions are for you guys.
Jen, I don't even know if I can leave my own house anymore. Like, that's why I don't go where I am right now, lest the authorities, because we all know the internet's watching us. They're going, wait a minute, did he say he's not at home? But it's like, they can't really prove that. So that's why I've got the picture of me up there, because they're like, oh, well, he's with himself. So not with anyone else.
Spending time with yourself.
Although that guy there, vaccinated and unvaccinated. So this is a very, very dangerous situation. I shouldn't get into all of this. Anyways,
did you say he is vaccinated or he's not?
I don't know. In fact, I'm going to plead the fifth at this point.
I know. Like I'm an oversharer. So I tell people but then I realized last week when I was at church and I was telling this woman my current, whether I'm vaxxed or not vaxxed status. And she probably, I could see every part of her wanting to just run away from me when I was letting her know what my stance was. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'll just shut my mouth from now on because people can't.
It's funny because you just told a story there that tried to keep it completely ambiguous, but clearly made it clear what it's a very fascinating way to approach the subject, Jen.
I'm kind of an open book. Like I'm an open book, unfortunately. And I overshare all the time. So I've already shared too much.
I can tell you, I'm getting to a place. I've already been to this place in my life. My life took a huge shift 3 or 4 years ago, but that was on top of a couple year journey going in. Like I'm just at this place like where I don't care. Like I don't care what you think, Jen. I don't care what Dave thinks. I don't care what June thinks. She's
left.
Did you
hear that, guys?
She doesn't care.
I don't care.
Well, I've said this on stage.
Yeah.
I'll look into audience and say, listen, I don't care if you laugh at anything I say because I'm not here for you. Like I do this because I love it. Like I don't care. Like if you had to care about what everybody thinks, you wouldn't last long in this industry. Anyways, the point is, Jen.
Maybe that's my point.
That I am going to post some stuff. Follow me online on social media on Instagram. because I'm going to start posting some stuff because I've usually kept my private life. I think I'm a closed book in general, and I've tried to keep my private life really separate. everything in that story, like I will stand around in short shorts all day. There's me in short shorts there. I think there's pictures of me like with you know, very strategic print, you know, blocking certain body parts and stuff. Like I am an open book physically.
Yes.
But I'm getting to the point where I feel that I need to start talking about issues. I've never put issues into my show. I've always thought comedy should just be comedy. I've never tried to have an agenda.
Right.
But I'm seeing so many people now that has happened through COVID where people have been afraid to speak up about things.
Oh my gosh, right?
And I'm getting to the point of going, you know what? Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm probably at ground zero starting my career again. COVID shifted a lot of stuff.
So
let's just go out there and start releasing some information and talking about some stuff. Yeah. I don't want to make my life all serious, but because I had a couple people who messaged me in private saying, oh, you know, I'm so afraid to talk about this. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe I can start to be this person who can start to open up a little bit and have people who are like, oh, thank goodness. There's a guy down in Atlanta, Timothy Bannister, you know him, comedian.
Yeah, I
love watching his Instagram. I'm just like, good for him. He's probably losing a ton of followers, but he's probably gaining a few too. I'm trying to lose followers and I keep gaining a few. It's a tough thing.
I think people are done kind of putting this false sense that like, who cares? Like we've learned, hey, if we're all still here, because there's people that aren't here anymore because of what we've all been through. Right. So it's like, I'm done trying to be like, oh, I don't want to offend. It's like, I want to be nice and I want to love people, but I also have my convictions and I also see things differently. And I know that maybe my narrative isn't the popular one, but it's my truth. And as long as I speak that in love, then I don't see anything wrong with that, you know? So hold on. We got Dave Ebert saying, so commentary with you is reaching a slow boil. He's just coming at you with the puns right now.
Oh man. I grew up in a church with a pastor who loved puns for about 10 years. I had to, every time he would talk about a passage in the Bible, and there's a lot of them that mention boils.
Yeah.
You know, he'd always point out to my family in the back row and we'd have to, again, week after week.
Yeah.
And you're probably wondering, why did you learn so many messages about boils? They're all over the Old Testament. Almost every second verse talks about boils.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is getting way too serious.
I kind of want to backtrack for a moment though, but really like what you're talking about, because you are kind of that person that, you're funny. Your posts are funny. Timmy Shorts, like you have a YouTube channel called Timmy Shorts, and it's some of these shorts that you've done video wise, but it's literally you in tight shorts, similar to the ones behind you.
Yeah, I love those shorts. Those are actually my son's when he was 10. They fit me perfectly.
You're just visually, you're probably one of my favorite comedians because you're silly. The first video I think I watched of yours, you were doing a live event. And you did the Flashdance song.
Yeah, I do.
I ran around,
and
leg warmers and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And you know, you did the whole song.
Yeah.
And the part
I noticed that in the car before the show too. Very, very.
That's the part that killed me when you got on the microphone at the very end, and you're like, "Yeah, I just practiced that in the car on the way here. Like, I died. Like, it was like." It was beautiful. It was so, I just love that kind of just misdirect kind of silly humor, and you're really good at that.
Thank you.
So you've got the funny down and now you're like, oh, I'm going to bring some realness to this because why not?
So Jen, oh, by the way, hi Marlo. There's a show that I haven't been on either. Anyways.
Marlo, did you hear that? Okay.
So Jen, here's the thing. This will follow into where I think you wanted to track with this particular section of what we're talking about. When I first started comedy, Leland Claussen, who I think just got mentioned, Leland Claussen's comedy tournament. That's right, Dave's watching it. Lena Klassen was my mentor, a good friend of mine, and back in 2007 got me going into comedy. By 2009, I started Upstanding Comedy, went full time. Mm-hmm. For years, though, all I did was stand on stage with a mic, a stool, and tell stories, because there was this stigma attached to if I tried to do anything theatrical, it wasn't stand-up, right? And so I tried to be pure stand-up. But there was an element of me, like you see behind me.
Yes.
There's an element of me that's very theatrical.
Yes.
And I remember I do this bit, this Sonny and Cher bit that I do at wedding receptions. And so I'm doing wedding receptions, one of my favorite gigs in the world. But I used to only do it at wedding receptions. And then one day I was doing a special fundraiser in the town that I live in for the library. And I was like, I'm going to do this Sonny and Cher bit. It's an interactive piece. It always does well. I'm going to do it right at the very end of my stand-up show, which I've never done before.
Okay.
And because it was a special event. And I did it and it went so well. And I was like, what am I doing? Like that's me. And so then I started to create a show. Now if you go to my show, there's a lot of ad-lib crowd in it. Sometimes I'll talk for a half hour and just work with the crowd.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, like I wear a suit all the time, but my biggest thing now is you don't know what's under the suit at any given time. It could be an orange spring dress. It could be short shorts. It could be nothing. I'm still waiting for that show to unfold.
Birthday suit.
But I think what that's leading to is I've slowly become more comfortable with who I am as a performer and realize that, yeah, stand-up is something that I do. And if you just want to see a straight-up stand-up show, I can get up there for an hour and a half and just sit there with the mic and tell you stories. I can do that.
Right.
But I can also do interpretive dance, and I can do this Christmas song, which is one of my favorite. I have this 80s tribute Christmas special.
Yes. Yes.
That that I should have been promoting the heck out of over the last couple of years, but I need to start doing that this year. Mm-hmm. But that is heading into where we were just talking about, is that I'm realizing that there is so much of who I am that isn't out there. And as much as I never wanted it to be, have serious moments, and I don't think anything I do will ever be like pure serious, but the fact is that I love teaching and I love encouraging people. And there are a lot of people out there that, yeah, laughter is a great gift and I love giving that gift, and it's a great healing agent in and of itself. But some people also need to hear, you know, I've learned a lot in life. I'm almost 50. And I know, thank you. I look amazing. The point is, Jen, for the last three years, I've been telling people that I am 7 years younger than I am, even on stage. And waiting, it was a social experiment to see if anybody would call me out on it. And so either I look really good for my age, or people truly are unwilling to broach the subject of how old somebody is. But now I've just flat out am saying, you know, look, I'm going to be 50 in a year and a half. And and I'm just kind of putting it all out there. And like, I've learned a lot of stuff about comedy. I'm actually going to be launching in the new year, comedy mentoring, not just for stand-up comedy, but for shows. I've sat down with a few people who've done shows and they've asked my advice. And it's like, look, I think I have a lot of stuff to offer this world that goes beyond comedy. But I so desperately just wanted to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
But COVID broke all that open, and I had a lot of time to think for the first time and see all the holes in my business model. I should be a lot bigger than I am today, Jen, and that was my own fault.
No, you should. You are seriously super stinking funny. No doubt about it. Like, very. You make me laugh out loud. Like, I'll go look at stuff notoriously. Like, I'll just go check your page out. Like, I think you just did a post on Instagram where you paused the television and you did a staring contest with a woman on TV.
Yeah, like, well, her friend was mocking me.
It's just, it's silliness and it's funny. And I think the world needs to know just how funny you are. And
I really need to start posting more. But thank you for that. I do appreciate that. I appreciate it coming from you because you are one of the few people that actually make me create a audible laughter.
Yeah. Okay. Good. You got audible laughter from me.
Yeah.
Definitely did. Like,
I don't laugh at a lot of things. I laugh at everything that I do, which is important. I think every comedian should. Like, if you don't find it funny, then you shouldn't be performing it. Right.
Right. Right.
But you actually make me laugh.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know what? And it's funny that you say that. Like when I'm writing and I'm creating content, if it doesn't actually get something out of me, that then I'm like, it might be mildly funny. It might be like, ha ha. And I'll have to be honest. Sometimes I throw that in there too, you know, it just fills it. But the whole premise has got to be enough that it just tickles you. Like I have a bit that I don't do anymore, but it really makes me laugh. But I've stopped doing it because I feel like a middle-aged woman shouldn't talk so much about poop, but it's a poop joke.
You got it.
Fuck up for poop jokes.
You got to be you. And I think I tried to be protective of my brand for so long. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I think one of my hindrances mm-hmm. was I branded myself too narrow. And I know people say go for the niche, yeah. but my upstanding comedy, everything was branded. Like the problem is that there's things that I find funny
yeah.
that aren't incredibly, really deeply rude and offensive. Although nowadays anybody gets offended at somebody could look at this picture and go, "Oh, he's showing too much thigh." Although those are yoga thighs and they are very, very nice. But the point is that I branded myself so narrow that there were so many things that I enjoyed mm-hmm. that I thought were funny that I wouldn't perform and I wouldn't post because I was afraid I was going to lose people. And now I've realized that what I want to do is lose a ton of followers. I want to be at ground zero again and rebuild. I'm just going to start being me. And if I lose, I'm at 666 followers. So that's already
I saw that. I almost unfollowed you right there just to pull that number off.
Right? It went up to 69. And so I took three people off my follower list. They might not even know that, but I took them off just to keep it balanced. I'm not afraid anymore. Like you're gonna see some stuff, Jen. You might stop following me. But I am going to start I need to start posting me and start being me. And I'm no longer afraid that I really do believe that ultimate success. And I've been afraid to actually apply this belief system that I've had for years, which is ultimate success is when you have just as many haters as people who love you. And that means you've hit this chord. And I haven't done that because I've tried to play it too safe. But I'm almost 50. I'm throwing it all out the window, Jen.
Listen, it's funny you said that. Okay, you're getting all this feedback. Okay, Mary Jane Baker, which I know is one of your comedy pals, and on roller skates at that hashtag talented, she says. She also says yoga thighs. Ha ha. Yes.
Yoga shoulders.
Yeah. And Dave says they are great thighs. We're brothers in Christ. So I can say that, right? And sure you can, Dave. Mine just went. So you said something very key right now. And it's funny. The first time I've gotten some negative feedback, I kind of was like, what the heck? Like, bring it on. Okay. Cause it's usually done on social. And let me go check out your page. I got some things to say to you. And kind of funny, but then there's that part of me. It's like, you gotta, if you put yourself out there, you're going to get people that are like, you're not funny. You're annoying. It's funny you said that. It's like, it's okay to have people that dislike you. And that's probably meaning you're doing some things right because you're actually throwing out, like when I did the Housewives last year and I boosted a post on YouTube, I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta just put it out there. Yeah. It got so much I don't know how the ad ran, but people were like, WTF, a lot of that. And which I was thinking, oh, watch the fun. They like what they're seeing. And that's not what WTF stands for, I've come to find. But the negative stuff is actually a good sign. And
it's not just a good sign. It should be a goal.
It's a goal. Okay, so I'm going to put that on my goal sheet for 2022.
It should negative be a goal.
Feedback. It means like people are giving me thumbs down. It's just like, okay, good. That means people that are not my little core circle is seeing everything that I'm putting out. And, and you know, hate is going to hate, Tammy.
Well, I hope that when my followers lists purge on their own volition, in the next month, probably in the next month and a half. Mm-hmm. And I start from ground zero, that you will be one of the few that remain. Because, you know, and, you know, hey, and some people will say, oh, what are you doing that? That's, you know, that's different than what you've done before. You know, I thought you, because some people are going to say this, and they've already started saying this. Oh, I thought you were a clean comedian. The line of what clean is like is so wide. Like, not a clean comedian's not even a good title anymore, because what's your definition of clean? Some people need, like, I can't wear these shorts in some shows if people think it's a clean show, right?
Sure.
So how you rate that. So people will, I'm sure that's going to come out. Oh, you're a clean comedian. You know, I thought, why are you doing that? It's like, no, look, the people who know who I am, mm-hmm. if you really think you know me, which a lot of people don't, you don't know me. Very few people do. Mm-hmm. Cause I keep everything in. That's a good Irish trait.
I got you on that one.
But if you know, I've also realized this is another thing too. Don't ever explain yourself. Like, my journey that I'm about to go on, people say, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Here's the thing. If there's no point in explaining yourself, because if I explain myself to you, Jen, mm-hmm. and you're actually my friend, mm-hmm. you don't need the explanation.
No.
But if I explain myself to you and you're not my friend, you're not going to care anyways, because you don't like what I do.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just going to go and start blazing this trail. And this is the first time I've ever talked about it publicly. So if you want to find out where the trail's going before you decide whether or not you want to unfollow or follow, start following me now, because I'm really starting to start building content regularly again. And you might as well come in and see if this is the ride you want to join.
Well, I am excited, and I can't wait to see this new side of Temi. Because I know
67 follow. Now I got to go unfollow. I got to get somebody off my follow list.
Well, no, he's saving your soul. Dave Evert went and followed you on Instagram. You're at 667 now.
Yeah, you're at 668 now. I can't even like bottom out here. What is happening? I'm trying.
Gonna listen. I know. And I think that's, you know, vulnerability is so, I think we're in a time and space where people can be funny, but you seem to be evolving as a comic, and you're like, I have so much more to say. So it looks like we're really going to go inside Timmy's mind. And I would like to hear that. And I find that refreshing, even if I don't agree, just as long as I want to just have conversations. Like, why did we all of a sudden, we only can have one sided conversations. It's like, that just seemed to kind of come out of nowhere. And I want people to disagree with me. I want people to have different, because that's what makes the world amazing. We all don't look alike, sound alike. We're not. So it just seems like, you know, don't get me started, because listen, I go deep into some of these we're headed as a global world, and how this isn't just happening here in the States. I definitely see it happening in Canada. I see it happening over in Europe, Australia. It's happening globally, that we're all just having to fit into these boxes. And I'm like, this was never like this before. So,
I don't know. I mean, I know you've done a deep dive into my stuff. You can start by eliminating those who think Ben Affleck is the best. Yeah. Look, if Michael, I have a t-shirt online at my store, timboacomedystore.com. It says, if Michael Keaton is not your Batman, mm-hmm. keep social distancing. I don't need you in my, like, if any other Batman is your Batman, please, like, mask it up, stay away. I don't need you. I don't need you. Anyways, so thank you for that.
Like that. He's just reminding.
But I don't understand why she's thanking Dave for the follow, because she understands I'm trying to bottom out here.
She is. She gets you.
So, just to stay on this topic, and I don't know where you wanted to go with this conversation, but wanted to follow this theme here. So you've done a deep dive into my stuff. Are you aware of the podcast that I'm currently doing?
A little bit, but I knew you did Comedians in Cars and Quarantine, but then I was realizing you had another podcast going. So I would like for you to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so here is one thing that is already mm-hmm. Affected my bottom line and will affect my business going forward, mm-hmm. is that I chose to start doing a cannabis podcast.
Yes.
Now, a lot of people, especially in the religious world that I grew up in, mm-hmm. the very fact that I don't consume, the very fact that I talk about it, mm-hmm. and am in a conversation with it, like I brought it up because of what you said about it doesn't matter whether you agree or disagree. It's about having the conversation. And so I started this podcast with Mary Jane Baker, mm-hmm. And we talked about cannabis from both sides. And as somebody who grew up, I grew up in the church, I didn't know anything about it. But mm-hmm. that topic alone, the very fact that I am doing that podcast, mm-hmm. I have had people who have hired me consistently over years mm-hmm. message me and say, are you still going to be doing that once COVID over, as if it's a COVID project? Mm-hmm. Because the implications are, if you are, mm-hmm. we can't continue that thing. I am losing business by simply having a podcast mm-hmm. that discusses cannabis in a positive light. Now, to me, people would say, well, what are you doing? That's going to hurt your brand, your career. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be me now. And, yeah. but for people that I've genuinely already lost as followers and people yeah. who have, in their passive aggressiveness, haven't told me mm-hmm. anything, but have simply stopped paying attention.
Sure.
There, I have gained a ton mm-hmm. on the other side. And that's why we can't be afraid of offending people, because mm-hmm. for every person that goes, I don't like this, two more people out there are going to re-find you and go, I really like what this person's doing. So
yeah,
it was a risk for me. I knew it was a risk. I knew it was a risk, and I've already seen the damage as mm-hmm. a result of it. But I've embraced it, and I've realized I enjoy doing this show. I think there's a lot of value in it.
Right.
And I'm going to continue to do it. And that's why I'm saying, I'm hitting that place where it's like, I'm starting from ground zero. Those that want to leave can leave. Those that want to stay mm-hmm. can stay. But Timmy's right. on this journey, and I'm evolving not just as a comic, but as a human being.
Well, first off, I think you grew up in the wrong church, because there was no cannabis in your church. I mean, I don't know what religion you grew up in, but I grew up Catholic. So we were drinking and smoking and having a good time. So yeah, little plug for that church. No, I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, because, I'm kind of kidding. So that's interesting. And yeah, it's so funny that you say that. I think that's also as we grow spiritually, because we are, we're growing in our journey. I think that we can't be afraid to say, hey, let's have the conversation. And it's interesting that here you are on this podcast, because yes, I did see that, because I think it's you and Mary Jane Baker that do the podcast or the show. And you're not the consumer, but you're just showing up and you're just having the conversation. And I think if we don't step into places where that maybe are a little different, or maybe someone be like, why are you going there? Or why are you saying that? It's like, well, someone has to show up and someone has to be able to have the conversation. And are we so prude that we can't, have the conversation?
People are afraid of conversation. They really are. They don't want it. And that's why a lot of the times, on social media and stuff like that, you're only fed what you believe, right? That's what the algorithms are set up to do, right? You just enter into this wormhole mm-hmm. of stuff that already, confirms your bias. And I don't know. I just want to branch out and do things that I find interesting based on, I hope, Jen, you are not the same person that you were 10 years ago. Anyone who says, oh man, hey, you're the same person I knew back, it's like, no, that's sad. We should all be changing and evolving. And the Timmy Boyle 10 years ago or 12 years ago, when I started doing comedy full time, mm-hmm. is not that same guy as a performer or a human being. Mm-mm. But I got scared partway through that journey, because the career was growing, and our career path in comedy is so volatile.
Yeah.
I stopped being me because I was afraid I was going to lose any growth I was having. And meanwhile, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm very blessed to be doing this over a decade full time, but mm-hmm. it's not like I was making a mint off of it. I live a pretty simple lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that allowed me to at least do it for a living. So what am I really losing? I got to hustle for paying my bills again. So why not just do exactly what I love and let the chips fall where they fall?
Right. And I think we have to know, like, and I'll just speak to the us as Christians. I mean, if we're followers of Jesus, let's talk about who Jesus was hanging out with. Let's talk about the conversations he was most likely having and around. It's like the Bible's very clear that he hung out with, you know, the people that most people would be like, you don't hang out with those guys. They're sinners, they're prostitutes, they're tax collectors, they're the scum of the earth. You need to come over here with the righteous circle. And it's like, I can't do that. That's not who God didn't make me that way. Like, I would, if I walk in a room, I usually kind of gravitate towards the people that maybe not everybody wants to hang out with because they're fun. I'm sorry. Let's just be honest. Let's have the conversation. We're going to have a good time and we're going to have fun versus, oh, let me come over here, put my religious mask on and act like, you know, I don't mess up. It's like, I can't play church anymore. And I think a lot of people are coming out of this pandemic and everything. Like, why are we putting on all these masks? I mean, why are we masking up? Let's just be who we are. Go let our light shine. Go into some dark places. Have some dark conversations. Like, just put it out there. And if it leads you to some people like, oh, well, we can't associate with you because of this, that, and the other, it's like, well, then that's fine. Because like you said to me, like, there's other people that will. And I'm not going to worry about the ones. Jesus didn't focus in on the ones that left. He's like, well, I've got my peeps right here. I mean, he would often weed out people that were just kind of along for the ride. And I think you have a message. You're finding this message. You're finding that you have more to say than just be funny. And I think that this is part of just growing as a person. And I'm looking forward to just seeing more of this and kind of hearing where this takes you. Because, you know, I'm pretty fired up for you.
All right.
Yeah. That. So, and you don't have to indulge this. I haven't listened to the podcast. So you're not smoking weed is what I'm asking. Or have you ever smoked weed or do you could say no comment.
Yeah. No. Cause it's open on the show. No, I tried three times. I had about 3 years ago. I never had before. Based on what I'm finding out as misinformation and disinformation. So I tried three times.
Yeah.
The first time nothing happened, super disappointed because I believed I was about to go on this incredible journey.
You're waiting.
You know, exactly. And then I had one time where I went bowling. And I'm a really good bowler. Canadian bowling, we do 5-pin up here. 300 is like a really good score. And okay. I'm a 300. I'm a good bowler, but my bowling score dropped, and I stopped after that because some things not worth risking, and my bowling score was way too important for me. Yeah. But I did have another one, which was and it completely messed. I was trying to have a conversation with Mary Jane, and I couldn't follow the conversation, and I didn't like that particular thing. But I've been finding that with cannabis. Dosage, THC levels, CBD levels, all those things matter. And that particular one was too high for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not opposed to trying, you know, like I had a CBD edible. There's value in CBD. So yeah. I'm not a consumer. I tried three times. Mainly ruined my bowling score, and that was
it for you.
But because the journey for me was never about now. I'm like, people are like, oh, now you're going to start smoking cannabis. No, the journey for me was about trying something and experiencing something that for years I had been either not told about or been kind of danced around.
Sure.
And it's like, well, I'm almost 50, so let's try it, for goodness sake. And so I tried it wasn't for me, but I stand now in the industry of it and in the culture of it as someone who came in from the outside going, you know what, I think there was a lot of misperceptions. And so now I'm about trying to, you know, figure it out and learn about it and have the conversation. So that's what the show is about. And it brings my quirky, MJ brings the education.
Yeah.
We both, I think, have similar kind of humor So we bring a lot of humor to it as well. It's edutainment, but we do try to make sure it's educational for, it's called the newbie and the doobie. So
yes.
For the newbies and the doobies, if you don't consume, but you know people who do, and you just want to hear a little bit about, you know, the whys, because we have interviews with people and they just tell their stories. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yes. And that's interesting. So yeah, I don't smoke it because I don't want to be paranoid all the time. Let's just be honest. It was not my friend, and you know, that's okay. I just don't feel it. It's a whole new conversation I think the church needs to have, and I don't even want to say the church. You know, sometimes we have to just be on this journey, and we have to just allow the conversation, because I know there's a lot of people right now on a lot of pharmaceutical drugs that are trying to help them balance. Yeah. And yet these drugs are affecting their, you know, in such adverse reactions. And then, yeah, then we have, you know, cannabis or whatever, and used now with science and them knowing how to kind of even things out, we're seeing a lot of people helped and a lot of people, you know, I think there's a balance, and I think that's going to be up to the individual. And I think there's just so many ways people can go about it. So I'd be really interested to hear kind of some of the conversations that you and Mary Jane have on that podcast. But yeah, that's kind of a weird taboo thing, I think, that's been in the church for so long. Like, people would, you know.
Well, one of many.
One of many, yeah.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier, though, is the problem with people. And look, I don't like people at all. They've given me a career, though. My comedy is all based on the interesting, weird people around me. So keep them here. But I think we've become so accustomed to, we just want to be around the people that, you know, like you said, it's not just the church. It's society at large.
Yeah.
We just want to hang out with the people who do and say the things that we do and say. And one of the things that's been interesting about me being in this, in the cannabis space now, is there are very few people who don't consume who are actively in the cannabis space. It's like, wait, hold on one second. You're in the space, but you don't consume? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I've come into your world and I'm still not consuming. Mm-hmm. So It's like, but people are so quick to be like, well, if you don't come in unless you're going to do what we, it's like, no. We don't have to do or say or even believe fully.
Yeah, sure.
Let's just learn to be in other people's worlds you know, get out of our little narrow walkways. And so
I love that. And I think, you know, it's being legalized. Like, we have to learn that it's going to be just as much a part of our society as drinking, and learning how to manage it, learning how to kind of regulate it, in the sense that we have to educate, you know, the next generation. Like, this is, you know,
it's not a matter of, you know, if, it's when, right? Like, it's moving in this direction. And so you're right. It does. It comes down to education, and it comes, you know, I was blown away as a Canadian when I went down to the States to visit friends on a dairy farm in Michigan. And they took us out shooting in the back. They all had guns. Their kids grew up with guns and stuff like that. And, you know, I went to their church that morning, and like she said, that two of the deacons and the pastor were all packing. And that was a completely different world.
It's lovely.
For me. Yeah. Right. But what I thought was interesting was that they, you know, their kids had guns at like young ages, and cannabis and alcohol, guns, whatever. And there's so many things across the board. It's like, look, educate people properly when they're young. Don't try to, you know, do this, the thing that often happens, like, don't do that, but with no explanation.
Right.
Like walk it through. And then, you know, I tried to do that as a parent as well. It was like, we tried to be very open with our kids and say, here's the thing. If you were ever to do blah, 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 let's talk about this could happen, but there might be a positive outcome, but we'll give you the information.
Right.
You deal with that accordingly. And that's what's happening here. I mean, in Canada, it's legalized across the board, although the term legalized, there's so many restrictions. You guys are at a different space in the States in regards to it.
Yeah.
But so I don't know. I guess this is kind of my first foray into everything I've been talking about, that as a clean comedian,
yeah,
although I do entertain on this podcast, mm-hmm. I have taken a role to speak about an actual cultural topic, mm-hmm. that isn't just, you know, wrapped up in my comedy set. And it's probably the first step I've really made where it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to actually take a side on an issue.
Yeah.
Publicly.
Yes.
And do something that I really, really enjoy that might negatively affect, the people who used to follow me. So, and I think there's going to be more of that going forward, and I'm okay with that. I've got, you know, what, 80 more years left, 90 more years left.
Yeah. You're going the distance and beyond.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I know our time is coming up short here. So yes. If there's anything else you want to.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Thank you. Well, yeah. So thank you. That was, and I am looking forward to kind of seeing how that works for you. And, yeah, just exploring that. I think that it's just, you're kind of, it sounds like you're just kind of evolving and growing and putting some things out there, mm-hmm. and taking some risk. And, I look forward to seeing how that works for you. So, before we kind of get off here, yeah. Is there anything else? You know, you said you're working on some mentorship opportunities.
Can't hear you. Uh-oh. I don't know if you can hear me. Do you want me to just talk? I'll just talk. No, I can't hear you. Wait, MJ, can you hear me? Uh-oh. Okay, so I feel like I should write down notes. What's that? Okay, so they can apparently hear me, so I'm just going to keep talking here. I am, follow me on Instagram at The Real Timmy Boyle, and that's where kind of the portal to everything that I do. But I would really encourage people, timmyboylecomedystore.com. I've got my book, my glass, my socks are on there. I've got some cool t-shirts are on there. But I am doing this Christmas show. Which I think I'm only going to be able to perform in Ontario. I'm going to try to get a few of these done. It's the 80s tribute Christmas special, a Christmas special like no other. Probably the only thing that comes close to it is the Charlie Brown one from years ago. It's that sort of thing. And then, I don't know. If you're interested in cannabis, you can go to the newbie and the doobie. But I would say just follow me on Instagram. That would be great. And please, seriously, I need orange juice. All joking aside, Jennifer, I know you're concerned right now about your sound. I can't hear you. So let me just say this. Because I have survived and I'm not dead, people just assume, oh, he's doing good. Here's the reality. I haven't made money doing what I do as for a living for years. These hands, super soft. These are comedian hands. I don't have a whole lot of other skills out there. So all I'm saying is, if you can help a boy out, comedy mentoring, if you're looking for that, I'm going to be starting a program. So you can talk to me for some financial services there as well. I do perform live virtually as well. My Christmas show can do a virtual show. Check that out. I feel like I'm just plugging stuff now because Jen can't talk, but I can't hear you, Jen. We're going to wrap it up. The Real Timmy Boyle, upstandingcomedy.ca. Pick up a book. Direct message me and you can get it cheaper that way. Goodbye, Jen.